Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America. We're back at In the Open. So glad to be here another week. We have Teresa, as always, and we have a special guest who has been on the show before, but we wanted to chat with her again today. Her name's Whitney.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be talking about the fact that we can't focus. And I think that's a common theme from conversations that I've had with people across the US and beyond. So, yeah, we're just going to dive right in. I think a lot of people may be dealing with these issues right now and just kind of chit chat about what it feels like to not be able to focus. What does it mean in terms of how productive people may feel, or if it's impacting their mental health and emotions and all that. So, yeah, I don't know. Have you guys had any issues in focusing in the last few weeks?
We should talk about what not being able to focus literally looks like. I have like full-on freaking conversations in my head, but what comes out is gobbledygook.
Yeah, I get that. I was thinking about if there's a difference between our ability or inability to focus right now, being the, you know, in the middle of COVID, prior to, like, let's say February, you know, because there are moments when I couldn't focus in the past and I kind of have to reframe my thoughts. But now I just feel I really have to slow down to be like, wait, what am I supposed to be doing?
I just think COVID made everybody in the whole world understand what it's like to live with a mental illness. Because the way I feel right now feels the same as when I did when I'm in the middle of an anxiety attack or panic attack or family trauma that feels so much that it makes my brain screwed up.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. I've definitely felt like I can't focus because of my anxiety or just general stress of work or my traumas. But I feel like COVID just amplifies it. And I have so much time with my thoughts right now and being alone that I think it just feels even more intense, or I notice it more right now than usual.
Like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Can I not focus because my mental illness makes it so that I can't focus? Or is it that I could never focus, but now that I have a mental illness, I notice that I can't focus?
So what you're saying, Teresa, and what I've heard from you too, is like, this feels like what you guys have normally felt like on a regular, but amplified.
I mean, I don't know that it feels amplified for me. It just feels like, oh, I noticed this. I've been here before.
Okay.
What I relate to what Whitney said is there are so many thoughts in my mind at one time. I can't focus on something because I'm focusing on everything.
Okay.
At the same time. So I'll go down to write something or do an email. And then in the middle of the email, I remember that I have to do something else and I panic. Like, oh, I forgot this. So I start that other thing because I'm afraid that if I don't do that thing, then I'm going to forget it for a longer period of time. So I go do that thing. In the middle of doing that thing, I do another thing. And suddenly I have like 50 things open and I've accomplished zero.
Yeah, you've got nothing done.
If I'm especially screwed, then I pick up my phone because I'm so distressed that I need to go ground myself with Pokemon Go or Facebook or something. And it's just bad. It's all downhill. And the worst part is if this goes on for too long, then I come back to my computer and I just look at it and I'm so overwhelmed by everything that's open that I just shut down and I'm like, forget it. We're done for the day. And then I cry. It's horrible. That's like worst case scenario. That's what that looks like.
Whitney, what about you?
I can relate to that, like, on so many levels. I mean, I don't play Pokemon Go, but I'll pick up my phone and go to Facebook or social media because I start one thing. I, in the midst of that thing that I'm trying to do, I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot this. This is terrible. I switch to that thing I forgot. And then I never get that done. And then I'm just literally swarming in my thoughts of things I forgot. And I just close my computer and walk away and usually eat a snack because food is my comfort. So I'm left with like a really long to-do list and I can't focus on any of it.
What's funny is you guys have articulated what has been happening in my mind and with myself, but I haven't been able to put it into words. But that was literally me today, where I was like, I started making some food and I was like, you should eat because you're hungry. And then I was like, oh wait, I forgot to send this email. So I stopped what I was doing, sat in front of the computer, was writing this email, and then something else popped up and I was like, oh wait. And then it went to that, and afterwards I was like, America, finish writing the email and then go eat, you know. Like, I really had to, like, yeah, dude, like, pump the brakes and just wait and figure out what the next step is.
It's not healthy. It doesn't feel good to be in this stressed out space all the time. What I think is weird is if you are like this for a long time, you start to get really comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Becomes your new normal. Yeah.
One of the things that our listeners probably don't know, and if folks have been listening to us for a while, they know Teresa and I are kind of opposites, you know, where I'm more like linear. I need lists and stuff. And Teresa is more like, let's pop it on the wall and see what sticks kind of thinking. And I feel like Whitney's kind of in the middle, right, Whit?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So for me to come face the situation where, you know, with everybody's kind of facing, and have to adjust my linear thinking to really adapt. It's an adaptation that is occurring every single moment because things are changing and evolving at all the time. It's a little, it's unnerving. That's what it is to me.
Oh, it's unnerving. That's what it feels like to experience the chaos of poor frustration for the first time.
It's not the first time, but it's just unnerving.
Oh, you know what's interesting? What I think you're saying is that for people who are not used to this and want a lot of control and a lot of order and structure, that the chaos of not focusing and being so overwhelmed is especially challenging.
Yes.
This is true.
Yeah.
I feel like because I've experienced this same cycle, Teresa, that we both talked about, this, I think of something, and I never actually get something done. My heightened state of anxiety will kind of create that. So even if COVID isn't happening, I deal with that. So I had my coping skills to go to that I knew. So like today I could feel myself getting into that space, and I have to break task by task down and like refuse to go to the next one until I get, like, America, you actually sent me an email and I was like, I can't answer it because I'm writing this email. Like, I have to literally block out the rest of the world, but I know how to do that. And I don't know if some of my friends have those skills because they haven't dealt with that problem before. So yeah, I kind of feel this like weird advantage because I have anxiety and have had anxiety in the past that I can deal with that now.
You're right. Like, I think for a lot of people that have in any way experienced, it doesn't necessarily, like, I don't want people to think when we say trauma, it has to be like something, you know, disastrous that has happened in your life. Anything can really be a traumatic experience. And, you know, living in a chaotic household can be traumatic, you know, when you start thinking about it later on. So when you guys talk about trauma, like, if in my childhood I had to worry about if I was safe and things like that, those things are very challenging, but you learn how to manage. You adapt and you function. And you're right. You do have a very distinct advantage because you've unwittingly had to learn these skills to be able to just go on with your day. That's not to say that I haven't had any setbacks or anything, but because my normal functioning is so focused on control and linear thinking, that the adaptation that has been thrown at us right now, because that's what it is, everybody's just like, go try, you're now in a blender and just try to stay still. That's the hard part.
The thing, though, is it's not all like one-sided because, let's be honest, there were days where probably because of my brain and whatever, I also will rapidly move from doing just fine to utterly incapable of doing anything, right? So there are days where those coping skills that I have are not working. And all I literally want to do or could do is think about crawling into a ball and just trying to disappear from the world. So it's not like an all or none.
Yeah.
Everybody has like the toolbox that they have. And all you can try to do is make sense of what your experience is. And on good days, I might go, you know what? I know I've been here and I just need to focus and learn how to compartmentalize. And there are other days where it's just, it's too much. It's impossible.
So wait, you talked about some coping skills that you had learned from before. What has been the most useful, like what you were saying earlier, like that you've helping you to focus?
Yeah. So I'm a list person too, America, but my problem with my to-do list is they can start to feel overwhelming to me. And then I just like can't even focus on those. So my coping skill that I found to be most helpful in this, like, I'm going to break this down. This is like actually what I do. And I did it this morning. I take post-it notes, and anyone who walks by my desk and sees these out knows I'm in like, don't mess with Whitney moment, because I will write one task on each post-it and I'll do like 5 or 6 or 7. I won't go past that. And I will move through those post-its and do the things on the task. And they're like little, like I don't say like answer emails. It's like email so-and-so. And then I can then take that post-it off once I've done it. It's like, okay, I focus on that one task. Email the next person. I can like take off. And that I usually takes like one round and I've gotten through enough to feel productive that I can like get back into my just like general working without that. I'm not doing that all the time. But if I'm feeling totally out of control, can't focus, can't get anything done, I write it on the post-its. And then so I have that visual cue of like, you can't do anything else. And then I'll take that post-it off once I've finished it.
That's a really good method of keeping yourself on track. Like you're giving yourself small goals. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, my to-do list can be like, you know, email everyone and their mama. And that's not going to be able to get done by the end of the day. So I get that.
No. And then you look at it and you're like, okay, I can't do this. This is too much. So you don't focus and you just like goof off and don't get anything done because you're like, this is too overwhelming. At least.
Yeah. Like spiraling.
Yeah. I have had a similar that when there's so much happening in your head, I found that I do go to that too, but my post-its are not actual post-its because I am not an organized clean person. So if I have post-its in my physical space, it just is more clutter. So I can't focus on it. So the only space that I have that's clean and organized is my calendar, my digital calendar. So I started making basically virtual post-its. So if you look at some of the days on my calendar, you see like 50 items on that day. And those are my virtual post-its. And so if something comes up in my mind, like I'm writing one email, I'll focus on that task. But then if something pops in my head that I forgot X person, instead of going to respond to X person, I will go add it to my virtual list.
Okay.
So that it's there and I know, then it helps relieve that anxiety that I forgot that person, then it's on my virtual list. And then I finish the thing I was doing before. And my rule is I cannot go back to the thing, the new things that I thought of until I finish the one thing. And then at the end of the day, I will organize that list of things to do by either moving them to stuff I finished, stuff that I need to delegate or just put into long-term thinking, and then things I'm going to do tomorrow. And then what I have noticed is if I do that for 1 or 2 days, I will get back to some sense of normal. And I find that I make those lists less. And those are signs for me that I'm feeling a little more calm and manageable about the chaos.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. It usually takes me like a day, honestly, like to feel that relief. I can relate to that. It's like, okay, now I'm like back in the zone.
Yeah.
Back in life.
It is that action in the toolbox that I can tell that I only start to do that when I am feeling the most unfocused and overwhelmed.
I guess I haven't thought about the process that I follow, but I guess it's something similar. I do a lot of note-taking. Like, I do extensive note-taking about the things that I'm doing and things like that. So generally what ends up happening, like when I do have like meetings and things like that, I have to-do items on, you know, that I focus on, and we'll go back and refer to those so I can be like, oh, got that done. But that also exists as a separate piece where I'm just jotting down X thing that has to happen. And kind of in the same way that you're saying, Teresa, about, you know, things that can be popped into long-term thinking, other things that need immediate action, or at least I've taken a look at and know that it's there and it will just exist, you know, like somewhere in the ether. It would just exist.
Yeah, I think you're a natural note taker and organized person. So for me, it's curious to hear that you can't focus, because what is that like for a person who was naturally organized?
It's very overwhelming.
Tell me what's been happening for you.
So because my natural state of being is definitely one where, you know, prior to all of this, I know, like, coming into the next day, I know what my day will look like generally, right? The meetings that I have and things like that. Now it's like, yes, it's all the same, in quotes, the same, that there's a flow of the day. But then there are other priorities that come into play, like health and safety, right? Like, oh, I have to go walk the dog. I have to put on a mask. I have to disinfect. I have to do all these things to these processes that weren't there before. And then there are just responsibilities, home responsibilities, and all those things have just become one big giant mess.
I think that describes that process of where what happens when you pile so much on your table that get to the point where you can't focus anymore. Yeah. And so when you got to the point where you couldn't focus, was it like no more notes were being made? People were yelling?
Yeah. You know, anger is, of course, one of the first emotions that arises for me, which is my go-to, which is not good. It's not good. And the coping skills that I've had prior are very hard to like implement right now, because I think my nerves are just a little shot and I'm just reactive. So you have to keep pushing. That's how I feel, like I have to keep pushing and feeling like at some point it's going to get better. Mm. And it sounds like I'm hearing myself tell you guys, it sounds like living with like depression or anxiety. that's what it sounds like.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it sounds like the grieving part of anxiety and depression, when you're bargaining with your past productivity and your future productivity and your expectation of productivity, because you're like, if only I can hold on to this thing, then I will be okay. And so when it fails, you're like,
feel like so bad.
Why?
Because I'm bargaining now.
But that's normal. That's like a natural thing that happens for us. And you remind me that I did that once in my life.
Okay.
You know? But when you said that, I was like, oh, I remember what that's like to want to hold on to like this expectation of what I could be. But I do find, and I don't know if that's something that's unique to Whitney and I, who have like really struggled with being productive and constantly failing, is that I move faster to just acceptance of my inabilities. So I don't stay in bargaining as long. I'm just like, well, nah, I know what this is going to be like. So I'm just going to go eat the Cheetos and I'm going to have a bad day. And then I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Maybe it'll be a better day. But I don't sit in that space as much with that feeling of guilt. I remember what that was like to like claw and want to hold on to the possibility.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in between you two again. But I'm, because I am in the stage where I am trying to recognize my inner voice so much more. So I notice that when I am in that unproductive part of life, my first reaction is I always move into that shame cycle. And I just sit in the shame. So I'm like, you suck. You can't get anything done. Everyone at work is productive. Look at you. you lousy person. So I sit in that space and it makes me more unproductive because I'm like, well, I hate her. She sucks. I don't want to talk to her and I don't want to deal with her. So I just like ignore her and I just play on my phone. But I'm trying to get better at recognizing when I'm in that spot. So I'll be like, whoa, that's just like nasty talk. Don't go down that route. And I'll probably just like call it a day or be like, you know, today wasn't the best day, but you have tomorrow. Because I used to just wake up and be like, well, you're not going to get anything done again, you lousy person. And I used to be way more in that. And that leads to like multiple unproductive days, right? Because I just would be like, you can't ever get anything done. Now I'm learning to be like, hey, that was just one day. That's not who you are as a person. I'm nicer to myself and I can move on to like make my game plan and be more productive.
Oh yeah, those are extra layers for sure.
You know what though? It's like there's this idea too of, you know, here at MHA, all of us are working from home, right? There may be others that are in similar situations or others that aren't working and things like that. But one of the things is like all of a sudden, and I don't know if it is because of the situation that there is this need to feel like you have to be like super productive and be like pounding it out and be like, yeah, look what I did. Look what I did. And it's like, I can't do that. Like, I know emotionally, like I can't do that right now. But when, you know, we talked at some point, Teresa, about comparing ourselves to others and you like see other people and you're like, wow, she has her crap together. Like, look at that. She's doing it all. And then I'm like, dude, you're just functioning, man. It's all right.
Yeah.
I thought you were super focused today, America. So it's good to hear that you were struggling with it. Because I was like, she's got it all together. Look at her.
No.
Thanks.
Not today.
That's what I meant by like the expectations, you know, like when we start to compare ourselves to what I could be before or what I feel like I should be or whether I should be like Whitney or be like America.
Yeah.
I'm constantly failing at meeting those expectations. Those are traps that, yeah, I think we can get into that. It's just added stress. Like you can't focus. And why does your brain do that? When you can't focus, it opens the door for anxiety to come in to do all those woulda, shoulda, couldas that make you feel like crap and feel guilty. And that's that weird sick cycle that makes you not able to focus even more.
Absolutely.
The practice that you described, Whitney, of having self-compassion and being able to move from the chaos to the order of self-acceptance, self-compassion, and taking a breath is like, I think that's a big step in feeling grounded again and like coming back to yourself.
It doesn't come easy.
No, it's freaking hard.
I'm working on
it. Those are ninja skills.
You know, it makes me think about like skills. With all the stuff that's happening. And the reference that you made earlier, Teresa, about like the table, you know, we've talked about it before where you have too much on your table and you have to think about what you can do to maybe remove something from the table, readjust things, whatever. For me, and I told you guys, you know, before, it was like I had to really think about all the different things that are part of my life right now and figure out where I could hit a pause on something. And that was for me to like take this quarter off from my dissertation, because that added pressure. And it's not pressure from my mentor or anything. It's my pressure, right, that I put on myself. It was to be able to be like, dude, like I can breathe. Like that's how I feel. Like I can actually breathe without having one more thing that I have to respond to.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that was a big step for me to have a little bit of self-compassion and be able to admit that I needed help and then to be able to do something about it. Because I normally don't function in that space.
You push through.
When you're overwhelmed and unable to focus, you have to be able to say no without guilt, which is part of the self-compassion, and then identify one thing that's controllable that you can do. And when you do it, give yourself that gold star.
Yeah.
And then accept it for what it is and then do the next thing and the next thing. Put one foot in forward in front of the next.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. Like things that are very tangible, things that you can like check off, you know? Like for me, I know like taking care of the house and things like that are things that I just do. But one of the things that is somewhat like checking a box for me is like doing the laundry, you know? There's dirty clothes. After there, you wash everything and fold everything. There's no more dirty clothes. And the bin is clear, you know? So for me, that's like, oh, checkbox. So I think you have to think about small things that can get you through the day to really get you that gold star.
Yeah.
Like, those are kindergarten skills, man. They really are.
All of this stuff is stuff we should have learned in kindergarten. Yeah. It is the small task. You know what it reminds me of? Is like, especially working with depression, is like when depression hits, all you can literally do is make that list. And it seems part of the guilt is that it seems so stupid that my list is so dumb. But even those dumb things like get up in the morning, mm-hmm. go take a shower, brush your hair, brush your teeth, call a friend. It seems so simple, but in that moment, it seems like the biggest mountain to deal with. And the same feeling or pressure is in answer this email. I think that you want to accomplish your task, but not also add judgment to what you think that those tasks should be or how crappy it feels that all I got done today was to answer two emails. Like, that was great.
You answered two emails.
Yeah. Yeah,
good for you. I actually, so like my therapist and I were talking about this in the midst of COVID. This has been like my biggest struggle was like, I feel like I can't get anything done. And she's like, who's setting that standard for you? Are you getting external feedback that like, hey, Whitney, you're not stepping up to the plate, or are you thinking you're not getting enough done? And when I realized that it was like these crazy standards that I assume now that so many things, like I'm stuck in my house, things have been canceled, I should be changing the world because I have time. She was like, nah, you're good. Like you need to recognize that two emails is still two emails sent. Like that's accomplishment. So it's also like reframing my goals and making them a little more like kinder. It's all about the kindness, y'all.
It is. But I, you know, it reminds me, Whitney, that some people do live in situations where at some point we're so unproductive and we fall into a trap that we know that we're failing our team, mm-hmm. or you know you're starting to get that feedback from your boss, like you're not doing well. And I think outside of COVID, there was less compassion.
Yeah.
Mm, very true.
Right? So what happens when we return to that space where people aren't compassionate anymore for the experience of people who can't focus and have these periods where like, this is my non-productive time. But when I'm at my better self, I'm super productive.
That's so true. Yeah.
I think part of the challenge with checking yourself and your reality is that there have been times where I'm like, oh my God, I am checking my reality and I am in fact horribly unproductive and I'm going to be fired.
Yeah. What then? Yeah. Because if it's real, if it actually is happening.
Yeah. And
how do you move from
there? And this is why I say like I'm so grateful for working at MHA, because at least I feel one, safe that I can acknowledge this to my coworkers and you all are compassionate and help me get through this or whatever. And I have a boss who's like totally gets it too, right? But there are jobs where that's not the case. Or not the case just because of the work that I do. Like that's an issue. The work that I do, like if I slack, something bad happens to another person is like the highest level of fear. Like when you're not focusing and you're not doing well and that experience actually impacts another human being, whether it's your team member or your client or for first responders, like I can't imagine being in their shoes. Like if you don't focus at a hospital and something happens to a patient, like that feels like so much added pressure.
You know, one of the things you make me think about though, Teresa, and what you're saying is like the fact that one of the other feelings that I've been having a lot is somewhat like guilt.
My situation isn't bad enough.
Yeah, you know, like I'm blessed to be working and I don't have to worry about my next paycheck because I'm working, you know, and that can, I can easily spiral into this negative place when I start thinking about that because of everything that we're saying, you know, like if I can't focus, and I think this happens a lot with others that are not as privileged as we are, the three of us right now, you know, where we can say, oh yeah, if I need to take a day off, I can take a day off, you know, and then there are others that can't do that. Like,
no,
my family depends on me going, so I don't have the luxury of focusing or not focusing. You're going to get your job done, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I have a responsibility to be able to also voice that concern for others so that they are aware of the range of experiences that people are having.
Yeah, it's not a one size fits all. I see it as like how I'm trying, because I've fallen into that same thing. Like I beat myself up for feeling anxious or depressed during this time because I'm like, I literally have one of the best situations out of it all. I'm still getting a paycheck. I'm still working. But where I've tried to see it as is there's an unlimited amount of compassion. Like I don't have, like you have 100 pieces of compassion to give away. So you either give it away to the external people who really need it or you give it away to yourself. Like I have unlimited compassion to give. So I can give some of that compassion to myself and show some internal self-love, but then I can also show support and compassion for people who aren't in the same situation. Because if I get caught in this trap of like, your pain is worse than my pain, then like no one wins. Like literally no one wins out of that. But if I'm able to like give myself a little bit of that compassion, I'm better able to focus on my job and support those people in the long run.
That's great, Whit.
Seriously, that is such a nice
lots of thing to say. Love for everyone.
No, you're right. There is unlimited compassion. What Whitney had said earlier about what her therapist, that was like a nugget, you know, that was a good nugget. Like who's setting the expectations, you know? And I think that's a very good way to reframe the thought process that's happening, right? Like who's setting the expectations? Is it you? Is it external? What can you at this moment control? And I think those are some of the tips that people can walk away with, right? Like, yes, compassion is unlimited. I think that's a huge, huge thing that sometimes
everything comes back to expectations.
Yeah.
The rules we make about the world and the way we should be able to focus this way or that. And like everything that is about the screwed up thoughts that we have in our mind are often tied to weird bars that we set for ourselves and for others. And it's, I think we keep coming back to this theme because it's at the root of so many problems.
Yeah.
And it's a skill. The thing is, like, you don't wake up one day and learn how to be able to evaluate what that looks like and like know how to move forward from it. Like, it's actually something to learn. Like, you have to learn how to do this. And it takes practice and it's very hard, especially when you're stressed. When you're stressed, you revert to my poor skills, which is to attack.
I think there's a lot of information here for folks to think about. Give yourself a break, man. Do it.
Yeah.
We all need it. And if you're giving yourself a break, give others around you a break as well, because you're not the only one that's struggling.
Sounds great. And keep on fighting in the open.
Thanks, Whitney, for joining us today.
Yeah, loved chatting with y'all.
Thanks, Whit.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.